commandment tonight. That's in Exodus chapter 20. Yes, sir. Yes, let's get a mic to you first. A mic coming to you, Brother Dave.
Okay, when we were talking about the Sabbath, a couple of days after that, I had an interesting thing. I didn't realize the Muslims are so much like this. Friday is their day of rest. I had one of my students that gave me a note from the imam of his mosque saying this student must be excused from school at 2 p.m. on Friday because our mosque teaches if he is not present at the beginning of service, he will go to hell. You know, so you better not get a flat tire or anything. Because if you're late for service, that's it. You can't make it to paradise. You go to hell.
You're banished.
So, you know, that's their equivalent of Sabbath keeping. But I asked some other Muslim students if their mosques teach the same thing. They said no. So, you know, apparently we have one really extreme mosque in this area. Well, you know, and they're told you do what we say or you go to hell. Gee, what could that lead to, huh?
Yeah.
Suicide bombings.
You know, I remember years ago some of the things in the Hadith, you know, talks about the Muslims and their prayers. One of the things I used to teach at the Bible College when I taught world religions was that the Hadith, Muhammad said that if you go to sleep during prayers, Satan pees in your ears. Just some of the craziest things. Muhammad was obsessed with bodily functions, exactly. He had an obsession with those things, and he talked about it repeatedly throughout the Hadith. Anyway, we're in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, and we're in verse 12 tonight. We have actually made it past the fourth commandment. We're in the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment, five alive, five stay alive. Number five, stay alive. How do you stay alive? You honor your mother and father. You live long on the earth. If you need one of our handouts, we have some. Just let us know. And Miss Faye has them right here. So, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We're on page 28 in your syllabus, if you brought it. The principle, the eternal principle, the inner principle is respect. Respect, of course, for parental authority. Respect for all authority. But respect has to begin at home. It has to be taught at home. Children have to be taught to respect their parents. They have to be taught to respect their elders. They have to be taught respect, period. Because if they don't respect parents, guess what? They're not going to respect teachers. They're not going to respect their elders. And respect, this kind of honor and respect is really a foundation for society. And if it degrades, then society degrades with it. This is so powerful a lesson that the Bible repeats it in numerous places. Look with me to the book of Leviticus. I want to read a verse or two over here. Leviticus chapter 19. Yeah, Leviticus 19. Of course, there is also a promise connected to this commandment. You'll live long on the earth that the Lord has given you. So, The Jews took this very, very seriously, that respect for one's elders and for one's parents was required. This wasn't an option. It was a requirement. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Here's a commandment. You shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. You shall fear. What does the word fear there mean? Exactly. It means reverence. It means honor. It means respect. You shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. Again, this is a requirement. It's very strongly emphasized, repeatedly emphasized. And look with me just a few verses down. The elderly also, all the elderly are included in this. Chapter 19 and verse 32. 19:32. Look at this. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Now that just means white head. Like the hoar frost, the frost on the ground, you know, in the morning you see the little ice frost or whatever. Here it means you rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now, this was to be instilled in every Israelite, in every Jew, in every child, in every adult, this attitude of respect and honor. You honor your parents and you honor the aged. You honor the elderly. You honor the elders. Respect them. In fact, the Bible says you rise up before them. Now, the idea, again, is, you know, even when I was a kid, there was this respect. This kind of respect was taught. It was taught to me. I was taught to respect my elders. If my grandmother or my grandfather or somebody, you know, like that walked into the room and I was sitting down, I better get up. I better get up and go to them and hug them. That was just a matter of honor and respect. And, of course, in those days, if you rode on the bus and you had a seat and somebody elderly got on and didn't, you give them your seat. And that was proper. That was respect. That was honoring the elderly. Now, aren't you glad that this principle still remains in America? That we are a nation that practices respect for the elderly? No, what's happened, you think? What's happened to this principle, this eternal principle of honoring your parents and respecting your parents and also honoring all who are aged, elderly, the hoary head, you rise up before the white head. You respect their age and their wisdom. Nowadays, the young people are so brash and cocky and full of themselves that they have little respect for anybody. Respect for mother or father, respect for teachers, respect for authority, respect for their own uncles and aunts. Yes, brother. Microphone coming to you.
Yeah, I saw a report on TV the other day about the number of shootings of police this year is at an all-time high because criminals have no respect at all even for the police anymore.
That's correct. No respect for any authority at all. This has to begin in the home. It has to begin in the home where we're taught to respect and honor, and we teach our children to respect and honor. A couple of other passages. Let's just look at a couple of these. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'd like for you to turn over here with me, if you would. Deuteronomy 5. Like I said, the Bible repeats these principles often. This would be a foundation of the orderly society that Israel was to be. It was not to be like the disorderly societies of the Canaanites and surrounding nations, where children were left to themselves, to raise themselves, to obey or disobey, who, you know, they had no regard for parents or otherwise. Look, if you have no regard for your parents, you're not going to regard other authority, and then the inevitable result is anarchy. which is exactly the kind of society we have today. Disrespectful, dishonoring any authority. They don't honor other people's lives, other people's properties. No respect for anything or anyone. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, again, God commands this. It's not an option. And notice the two blessings associated with it. If you will obey and honor and respect, then two things will happen. Your days will be prolonged. Now, that means exactly what it says. You will live a long life. The blessing of longevity is attached to respect and honor. I know sometimes people latch hold of promises and they think that the promises all apply, but none of the rules or conditions apply. Oh, the Bible promises me 70 years. I claim 70 years. And yet they're brash, haughty, disrespectful, disobedient, dishonoring to parents, authority, and so forth. Listen, the Bible says longevity is attached to respect and honor. Not only the promise of longevity, but notice what else he says in verse 16. And that it may go well with thee. How about that? So not only will you live long, but you'll be blessed. There are blessings. It'll go well. You'll have not only a long life, but a good life. I mean, you don't really want a long life if it's a horrible life, maybe, you know. But you'll have a long life and a good life. Some versions translate it a joyful life. In fact, the very word, it'll be well, means cheerful, it means joyful, it means happy. You'll have a blessed life. The idea, again, longevity and blessing are attached to respect. Respect and honor. Honoring God, honoring parents, honoring authority. Live long and be blessed. Now what happened, you think, to this principle? What happened to the fifth commandment? We're pretty good about remembering, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We know that. Now, we know what the others are. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Doesn't mean people listen, but they pretty much know what they are. But you think about this. God gave 10 commandments that they are unique in that these 10 are written by the finger of God on tablets of stone, and they stand out for that reason alone among all the rest. And if God was going to condense 613 commandments into 10, isn't it interesting that one of them would be honor your mother and father? That would be that preeminent in the economy that God would establish for the people of Israel and for the people of God for all time. Honor your parents. Honor them. And honor the elderly, the aged. We could take a good long look at how we sometimes treat parents and the aged. And I believe that passages like this ought to cause us all to reflect and consider, you know, that we do want to honor, we do want to respect our loved ones. Sometimes we are forced to make difficult decisions concerning their care, long-term care. Sometimes they require more care than what one person can provide. But we want to do everything that we can, everything in our power to honor and respect them and always to love them. I'll tell you something else that's interesting here. Nowhere in this passage or any of these passages is this commandment qualified. It doesn't say you honor them and respect them if they've earned it. It doesn't say that. See, what if my mama is a drunk? What if my dad is a bum? What if he just curses and lies and drunk all the time? Well, people do have parents like that, unfortunately. You know, we are still to love them and honor them and respect them and treat them with dignity, even if they don't deserve it. Now, it doesn't mean that you would obey anything they tell you to do that would cause you to disobey the Lord. Because every obedience that we render to any human authority, any obedience is qualified by a greater and higher authority. Because first and foremost, we obey God, first and foremost. And any human authority, parental, any, or anyone, government, whatever, that says you disobey God, well, we respectfully disobey the human authority in order to submit and obey the higher authority of God. Y'all follow what I'm saying? But even when we disobey, like if we're required to because of our obedience to the Lord, we always do it with respect. Now, I'm throwing this out because we have become a very disrespectful society. Very disrespectful in the way we talk about other people, about other opinions. And let me tell you where it's the worst in the realm of politics. It is absolutely the worst in the realm of politics, where even Christians feel no inhibition, no qualms about blasting, lambasting people who are in authority. And I'm going to get to that in just a little bit, where in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, the Bible tells us you better respect that authority as well. Even the ones that we don't particularly like. I find myself having to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to shut my mouth. Because sometimes, you know, it's very easy to add in when you're around people and boy, there they go, they'll lambast. And I could add 2 cents. I could. Or 4. But I ask the Lord, help me, Lord. I don't want to jump in on this because I know that violates a biblical, an eternal biblical principle, a principle of respect. God put this in the Bible. It is to govern and guide our life, our behavior, and our attitude. Attitude. You see, you can pretend respect, feign respect, show respect, and still have a disrespectful heart. You might feign it outwardly, but inwardly, you know what I'm saying? So the Lord wants to do a work in our hearts so that we learn this eternal principle. It's vital to the establishment of an orderly society. Absolutely vital. Honor, respect, value. It means to highly value or prize our parents, our elders, to esteem them. It means to care for them, to love them, to consider them, to obey them, to do everything we can to maintain this principle for the sake of an orderly society, sake of obeying God. The result of disobedience, chaos, anarchy, rebellion, defiance, deterioration of the family, deterioration of society. See, without respect, the family degenerates. Without respect, society degenerates. Where are we today? Degenerated families, deteriorated society, and no sign of it getting any better. In fact, here's the fact, and this is the truth. It can't get better. It can't. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's governor. It doesn't matter who's mayor. It can't get better unless the real problem is addressed, and that is the home. And we live in a nation that has become hostile towards the family. Amen. Hostile towards the family, hostile towards marriage. Everything in our society fights against the home. And all you have to do is open your eyes and realize it, that that the forces of evil, of course, are at work here. Remember, we fight against a spiritual foe. And the devil is the one behind the grand design, the great scheme of eroding, deteriorating, destroying the family structure. And the devil's very good at what he does. He's very good at it. And so we don't value our families. We don't value our spouses. We don't value our children. You can blame it on the urban decay, you know, all the inner cities falling apart, no fathers, mothers are drug heads, fathers are abandon their kids, they're absentee. And you'd be right. Look at what we've got in our urban societies. However, the suburbs aren't far away. Because what we have in our suburbs now is parents who have become, I believe, infected with materialism, so that the most important thing is not raising our children, but the most important thing is having two really nice cars in the garage and the right kind of house and the right kind of neighborhood and the right kind of clothes and the right kind of furniture. And so everybody has to work, and everybody has to work a whole bunch in order to achieve this kind of lifestyle. And who gets sacrificed in the process? You know it's true. You have a question or a comment? Microphone coming to you, blessing. The whole world is awaiting your words.
Well, I hope they listen up, because I deal with parents every day, and I've been doing it for 37 years. Parents are afraid to use the word no to their children. Parents are afraid, as little bitty babies, to start counseling their children on what is right and what is wrong. Parents are afraid that, out of guilt, if they don't give their children their way, that their children are not going to love them. But they do that out of selfishness and guilt, because they go out to work to provide all these material things.
And it's a compensation.
And it is.
That's right.
And it's
sad. Absolutely right.
And the children suffer.
You're absolutely right. Right here. Grab this mic.
2 Timothy chapter 3.
We're going to... go ahead and read 2 Timothy 3.
Okay, this ties right in with that. Paul said, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents."
That's where we are. A symptom, a sign of the last days, disobedient to parents. I'd like to show you how rebellious children, juvenile delinquency, and so forth was dealt with in biblical times. Since you're in Deuteronomy, look with me over to chapter 21. Now, we're looking at the Ten Commandments, part of the law. We're looking at what the law has to say on this particular subject. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, I'm going to read beginning in verse 18. Deuteronomy 21:18. "But if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city," excuse me, "and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Dave wants to see if we can start doing that at school, high school. Just one example is all you'd need. Let's consider this. Now, I want to tell you also that some of the modern neo-atheists that have written their books highly critical of the Bible and so forth, they use passages like this to attack Bible believers and Christianity. They say, is this what you want? You want to obey the Bible? You want to go back to stoning our children? We'd kill the whole next generation if this were implored. But here's what I would like for us to realize. This is how serious God considered this particular sin, so that the penalty is equal to the penalty for murder. The penalty for murder, execution, the penalty for this is the same. Now, guess what you didn't have in ancient Israel? Juvenile delinquency. It didn't exist. Now, consider this with me for just a moment. First of all, I'd like you to see that they didn't drag six-year-old kids out and stone them to death. But it says here, if you have a stubborn and rebellious son who doesn't obey his father and his mother, and they've chastened him, they've dealt with him, they've trained him, they've done everything they know to do, and notice it goes on to say in verse 20 that he's a drunkard and a glutton. This is not a child, and this is an adult. This is somebody who should be responsible, and they are accountable, okay? It's not a child. And notice that just one mad parent can't do it. If daddy gets mad, and, you know, maybe daddy's a hothead or whatever, and he's quick to blow off his top or whatever, daddy alone can't enact this legislation. It takes the father and the mother. And then they bring them to the elders, and the elders hear the case. And the elders determine whether or not the case has merit. They don't just say, you know, yeah, let's just kill this kid and get it over. No, it has to have merit. And then the men of the city do it. The parents don't kill their child, but it's done. The city carries out the execution. But that's how serious this is. It's how serious God considered this sin, because he knew this kind of anarchy will destroy the very fabric of society. If it's left to fester, it's going to multiply. A rebellious child will have rebellious children when he multiplies, because he's not going to raise them correctly. He's not going, and so this ill, this evil will just fester and multiply and so on. Another passage in Exodus, we read the fifth commandment, but look with me over to chapter 21, Exodus 21. We'll read a verse or two over here. I'll tell you what else this displays. It displays the authority that God vested in parents. You know, our problem, it really does go back to the fact that we have abandoned the Bible as our standard and our guide. And now you have parents, just like Sandra said, parents who are afraid to tell their children no, afraid to discipline their children. Look, if they had the Bible as their standard, this is our guide, then they would know that requiring obedience from your children is what God requires of you, parents. And that makes all the difference in the world. You're not left to try to figure this out by yourself, or to draw from Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oprah or anybody else. Oh, I'm sorry. Question. Yes, ma'am. Let's get the mic to Rachel.
One thing that is against us as parents, though, is because now the kids are also taught that we can't discipline them. Yeah. So we've got that going against us, where then children are disrespecting us. And I always, like, if we're in Walmart or something and Emily's messing up, I'll pull her up. And if someone looks at me, I'll be telling her. I gave birth to her. I'll do whatever I want. So, because people look at you badly.
Absolutely.
There
is no question about it. We have now become a society that militates against what the Bible teaches. And look, there are people who don't properly discipline their children. They may beat their children. They thrash them or abuse them. The Bible doesn't teach that either. But it does teach loving correction. We lovingly correct our children. If that means applying the rod to their rear, the Bible says that's what we should do. But we, even when we do that, we do it in the right fashion. You don't correct a child when you're mad. And you don't spank them with a 2x4 or your fist or even your hand. The Bible says you take the rod, which would be like a switch to their, and you apply it to the appropriate place. You don't slap them across the face. You don't knock them down. You don't punch them. That's not how you discipline a child, according to the Bible. You're never out to injure. You're never out to wound. But you must require obedience. Exodus 21, verse 15. Notice this. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Now, I know parents who are terrified of their kids. And I know parents who are terrified of their grandkids. Because their own grandkids will abuse them physically, push, shove, slap, knock them down. Grandkids that terrorize the grandparents. Now, I'm going to tell you, they didn't have that problem in biblical times. Not for long, anyway. Yes, absolutely. Verse 17 as well. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. How about that? He that curseth. And you know what that word means? Curse.
Right.
That's exactly what it means. I'll tell you today, kids will curse their parents, curse their teacher, curse their elders, curse the principal, curse the police, curse God. Because this eternal principle of respect has been lost. It's been abandoned. It's been forsaken. It's no longer required. It's up to parents. It's really up to parents to instill respect in their children. How do you do that? Well, you teach them what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read. This is some familiar stuff, but I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Parents have to require their children to respect and obey. I could spend a week just on this. But Deuteronomy 6, I'm going to read in verse 6. Remember, I'm going to start with verse 4, the Shema. It means hear, to hear. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And now notice verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and bind them for a sign upon your hand and on your eyes. And excuse me. Wait. So who is supposed to teach this to their children? Thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. Teach what? All the words of God. All the teachings. Parents do it. You can't leave it to the church to do it on Sunday mornings at Sunday school. We can reinforce what the parents do, but parents, it's your responsibility to teach and train them. Don't let the TV do it. But wait, you know what? I'm going to tell you something else. Parents, in our society, we've become very lazy. We've become very lazy. Because it's a whole lot easier to just go give the kid a DVD or let them listen to whatever music or jump on the computer. Let them do what they want to do rather than we do what we should do, and that is teach, train, and equip them for life in a world that is hostile to faith. It's up to us to instill it in them. Yes?
Well, my brother, who is pretty well financially off, he's a computer analyst. His wife is a court reporter, so they make pretty good money. But they give their son anything he wants. The first day the iPhone came out, he got the iPhone. He's only 12 when he got it, the first day it came out. And then they went to the iPad. So first day that came out, he got it. And anything he wants, they just give it to him, and he really has no respect for him. We were in Destin, Florida on vacation, and my brother and his wife and son came with us, and we were sitting in a house that we had rented after being on the beach all day. We were all tired, and it was probably 9 o'clock at night, and my brother's son told his mother, he doesn't call her mom, he calls her by her first name, Phyllis, said, Phyllis, get up. I want to go to a souvenir shop. She says, well, I'm tired. He said, I want to go. She said, well, let's go tomorrow morning. He said, no, I want to get something at the souvenir shop tonight. And she got up and got dressed and brought him to the souvenir shop. I mean, and really, they're two nice people. They are very nice. But as far as parenting goes, they're just not there.
But, you know, that's the way it is. That's absolutely the way it is in our society. God forbid that you tell the child no. Yes.
This is in that same vein. In the beginning of Isaiah, when Isaiah is making his case against Judah, he's talking about a sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, the seed of evildoers.
Yep.
And that's going against this commandment where you have an evildoer and you put him to death, and then you don't get a seed of evildoers. And then a couple of chapters down the line, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Yes. So that's one of the results of, you know, having a seed of evildoers running the show.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Children are their oppressors. We got the mic coming to Miss Faye.
Brother Rusty.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when you have a situation where it's the grandparent that is doing the spoiling, you know, and it's like, okay, when you have a parent that's, you know, it's like you're supposed to be honoring your parents, and yet they are not respecting you in respect to disciplining your child, you know, I mean, it's like that's a very large web that's being weaved here, you know, so it's like, how do you handle that? Because that happens a lot of times.
It does. Look, we live... Our society is so broken, and, you know, people talk about dysfunctional families. We have an entirely dysfunctional society, so that nothing functions as it should. And in every single home, in every single family, there's going to be challenges to be obedient, to apply this to each and every life, because it's so different. We've got so many divorced homes, so many broken homes, and sometimes there are situations where, let's say, a family has been just materialistic all their lives, and then they get saved, and they realize, you know, we need to change the way we live, but now we've got so many debts, I'm trapped, you know, I have to work, but everybody's got to work. So each and every person has to pray and believe God to apply these principles to their lives and meet the challenges that they will face, whether it's with grandparents or other relatives or the fact that you are in this alone as maybe a single mother having to work and so on. You know that it's going to be a challenge for each and every person to apply this to their lives, and you're going to have to face the challenges that that come and the opposition that comes, and it will come. It certainly will. But you do notice that it is up to the parents to teach these principles, and you will have to do the best you can in whatever your circumstance is. Yes, brother, go ahead.
To kind of go with what Faye's saying, and you pretty much read it there, does it come to the point where the parent is the authority over the child versus the parent being obedient to their parents, which is the grandparents? I mean, as a parent, are you the primary responsibility?
Absolutely.
One
as a
over
parent,
the child?
You are the primary responsibility. And remember, you are obligated before God to train up your children. At this point, you answer to God, who is the higher authority, and not to your parents, who may really come after you or be mad at you for disciplining your children or taking away some of their privileges. You know, not everything is always handled with the rod. Sometimes you take away privileges or whatever. You can have a parent who was raised in the Spock school of child rearing and so on, that they really come against you for your discipline or whatever. But remember, we yield to the higher authority. God says, you train them up, you teach them, and if they disobey, you require them to obey. And that means discipline. Whatever, you know, the Bible teaches, that's what we're obligated to do. Yes, sir.
And the one that's got the responsibility is the dad.
It falls on the dad.
How many men in America are taking their responsibility to raise their children?
We're the most
properly
irresponsible fathers probably on earth.
And then, of course, you know, you're talking about situation with the grandparents and so forth, but the majority of times in my school, at least, it's single-parent homes, and there is no dad. And the mom, you know, she wants to be a pal and not a parent, and there's no dad there around to enforce the rules.
Yep. And, you know, sometimes parents seem to be so overwhelmed with their own, their own emotional injuries and problems and so on. You've got a single mom, it seems like they do everything they possibly can to try and make ends meet. It's almost like when they pick up the kids from childcare, they have nothing emotional to give to the children. And as far as teaching, discipline, and so forth, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen. And the result is you've got a nation, we've got a nation of young people raised by television and MTV, raised by music, ungodly music, ungodly lyrics, wicked lifestyles. They're raised by their peers. They're raised by the streets. Raised by the streets. They're raised by wolves, really. Raised by wolves. And then we expect them to behave like lambs. But Miss Carol, yes, ma'am. Let's get the mic to Miss Carol. Coming to you.
I was just going to say, my mother made it very simple to me. You raise the tree up the way it should go. And you have to start while it's little. Because once it gets big, it doesn't bend very easy.
It becomes a whole lot more difficult.
She told me from the day I had my children, she said, you raise them.
Yep. And there are promises in that regard, too, that if... That's right. Since you're in Deuteronomy, let me have you look with me over to chapter 11. Let's just read another verse or two over here. Deuteronomy 11, we're going to read verse 18. Therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sittest in your house, and when you walkest by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise up. Now, he goes on and says, you write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. You know, the principle, again, is that if we teach our children respect, teach them the word of God, teach them respect, the promise applies to them that they'll live long. So we multiply their days by requiring their obedience and their respect. I'm not going to tell you that this is an easy thing to do, especially if you've never really embraced this or considered this or tried to bring discipline into your house if you have children. Thankfully, mine are all grown and gone. Well, you're right, they're not gone. Now we have 8 grandchildren and another one on the way. And I watch the way my kids are raising their kids, and I have to shake my head in dismay, absolute dismay, because that's certainly not the way they were raised. And it's heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. Yes, sir. Verse 26, same chapter?
Yes.
11. Oh, about the blessing and the curse?
Yeah.
The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, and a curse if you will not obey. That's right. Yes, brother.
Does this respect the parents, does that also insinuate like regard for their word? Because I know I regard God's word, even if it's something that I don't understand or I don't agree with, you know, I'll just say, well, God's word is right. And that's really how we should be with our parents because, like you said, I mean, they're elderly. They've lived longer. And like kids today, and I've heard them say, you know, well, my mom doesn't know anything or my mom is this way and therefore I'm not going to listen to her. But if, you know, I mean, still your mom knows not to look both ways before crossing the street. You know what I mean? It's just...
Right.
You can't wipe out the whole thing by having disregard. Is that word, to say the respect and regard, is that kind of tied together?
It is, and yet at the same time, let me add this that needs to be clear also. You remember when you become an adult and you begin a family of your own, one of the biblical principles also is that a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife. The same thing is true for the wife. We leave and we cleave. We build our family, and we want to build it on biblical principles. Now, that doesn't sever us from respecting, honoring our parents. However, no longer can they tell you what to do, where to go, how to do it, and so forth, because they don't have that authority anymore. You've left and you cleave to your wife. You are building your own family now. And you follow the highest authority of all, that is, the authority of God. Now, does that mean you can disrespect them? No, of course not. You honor them, you love them, you respect them. But you don't have to obey, especially when they are calling you or asking you to do things that are unbiblical, unscriptural, or, you know, you just realize, look, I do have a family and children and so on. You know, because sometimes I hear horror stories about domineering mothers or mother-in-laws and things like that who impose horrible just requirements. Or some people can be very demanding. They, you know, you could have an unsaved mother, mother-in-law who could just be a difficult person, and they could make your life very difficult. But you leave mother and father, you cleave to what you have this responsibility here. You can still respect them without having to cater to their every whim and commandment, because they can become tyrannical, you know. It happens. It happens. Psalm 78. We're going to turn over there real quick. Psalm 78. We'll just read a couple of verses over here. There are many, many passages in the Bible that deal with parenting, you know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We have to raise them from infancy to adolescence, and we hold on to those promises. If they wander, they'll come back. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. where are we? Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1. Give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, that our fathers told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he's done. The point is, as you read it, you know, he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, verse 5, that the generation to come may know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they should set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Every generation should be taught the ways of God, the word of God, the things of God. And every generation should be required to respect parents, elders. I mean, that's just the way it should be. Yes, sir. No, sir. Boy, is that gone, huh? Yeah! Yes, man. No, man. My uncle's come in. You better get up. Better go hug your uncle. I wish they were here. I could kiss them today. I used to think as a boy, you want me to kiss them? I wish they were here today. Yes, brother. Yes, let's get the mic to Brother East. Let's hear some wisdom from the East.
As we was talking about the parents of the children respecting their parents, so I'm Al Flood Senior, my son is Al Flood Junior, and so we have a Al Flood the Third. So when he comes home, he wants to wear his pants low, and so I make him pull them back up and everything. So my daughter-in-law told me, said, Daddy, you too hard on Al Flood. And so it's the parents that's the problem.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Well, I'll give you a couple of verses you can look over. I see our time is out for tonight, but let me give you a few verses. This has to do with some parenting. Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 23:13-14, Proverbs 29:17, and verse 15 as well. Y'all got all that? How about Proverbs 30:17 as well? Of course, the promise is, you know, if children will obey, they'll live long. Ephesians 6:1-2. Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. For what? That it may be well with you. It's the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's the first commandment with the promise. Specific promises attached to this fifth commandment. You'll live long and it'll be well. Well, I also wanted to get to the principle of respect for authority from Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We could even mention respect for valid, true spiritual authority like Hebrews 13:7-17. But maybe we'll save that for next time. I mean, it would be a shock if we got through one commandment in just one night anyway. Praise God. What a difference there would be in the world if children would honor and respect their parents and authority. You know, overnight our society would be transformed. Just overnight. Yes, ma'am. Miss Deborah? Got a mic coming to you, Miss Deborah. We can't hear you.
You can really tell the difference between unsaved and saved people. When my sister and her husband rededicated their lives to the Lord, you could tell the difference in their children. Because they started raising them up. They weren't to that age yet, and they were able to raise them up, and now it's a blessing to be around them. They open doors for people. They, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, they follow the word.
What a blessing.
They read the word. So it's a blessing to see that.
Absolutely.
And then you see other kids and you just are in shock when they're cursing at their parents and the parents don't do anything.
Exactly.
So just, it makes you blessed.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yep. You know, yeah. Well, good biblical principles here about us. We have to have respect. And look, this is something we have to talk to ourselves about, because we are all too prone to pop off, criticize, speak about things we don't know what we're talking about, you know, condemn rashly and so on. Respect. This applies to you and me too. Proper respect. Respect for those who are in authority. Even Paul, when he was smitten by the high priest servant, you know, he called him a whited wall. But they said, "You speak this way to the high priest?" And he said, "Oh, I didn't know that's who he was." So we want to be careful, because the way of this world is to disrespect and dishonor. And the way of the Lord is exactly the opposite. Now, that doesn't mean we give honor and obedience to false spiritual authority or anything like that. But it means what it does mean. We can be respectful. We can honor others. And not be so crass, crude, rude, ugly, mean-spirited, cruel. Help us, Father, to apply these great principles to our lives. And Father, we do pray for our nation and the children of our nation. Lord, we pray for a great move of your Spirit, for only that would return our nation to biblical principles, and only that will change us. That is the only hope, Lord. You are the only hope to salvage America. Lord, have mercy on us all. So we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.